on this episode of Podigious.
And I think we can all agree that this is the chunk of the best episodes of Digimon ever. It seems like a pretty good summary of the season in general, is that, like, things seem cool on the surface, and then it's like everything breaks down when you think about it more, or actually rewatch it closely.
Really? I just don't know that many things even seem that cool on the surface.
So what it's implying there is Kazemon is like a young magical girl archetype, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And Zephyrmon is an adult woman. What it's saying is that adult women are beasts.
I understand wiping out on Heelys.
He is so oddly and creepy and unsettlingly and upsettingly phallic. Oh my god, she's Squidmon and Kidmon.
Bye.
Be like, you liked Greymon. Now enjoy burning Greymon.
I need a password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Podigious.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 402, Beauty and the Beasts.
Beast Spirits Arc.
Recorded January 29th, 2017.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and for this historically large number of episodes, I'm joined by my fellow Trailmon, Ashley McDonald. Asher Softman. I don't know what's going on here, but Andrew Softman.
Hey, Ash, draw me like one of your French girls.
You broke the combo! Combo breaker!
I don't understand what combo this was.
I was leaving a cat noise for you, Andrew.
Meow.
What?
There you go.
What are we referencing?
I was just being a beast spirit, man. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were being a train.
My favorite part of these episodes was Koji and Takuya just like growling at each other.
I actually looked into that growling because I was like, is that like when Burning Greymon was making noises? Like, this sounds really familiar. And that's the TIE fighter roar from Star Wars, which sounded a lot like Burning Greymon.
I am not surprised anymore.
And you made fun of me for going growl his howl.
I mean, I was like, okay, it's weird that they're making it sound like this noise from Star Wars, but then apparently the way that noise in Star Wars, there's like a whole, I found like an article about how that noise was made, and it was made by taking roars of animals and like doing audio processing on them and stuff, so it all comes back around.
Wait a minute. How can it make noises in space?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, this week we're looking at the Beast Spirits arc of Digimon Frontier with episodes 10 through 19. So here's a quick recap.
In episode 10, Can't Keep a Grumblemon Down, a.k.a. Koji Kendo, Ryomat runs away to Easter Island to spend time with Rox and evolves into Totally Nakarurumon, while Zoe's Digimon account is revoked for inactivity.
In episode 11, a hunka hunka Burning Greymon, a.k.a. Burning Greymon's the name his latest flame. The kids go to a fortune teller conference in town. Tommy's Digimon account is revoked for being underage, and Takuya joins the Beastie Boys.
In episode 12, Fear and Loathing in Los Arboles, a.k.a. Control-Alt-Delete Your Spirit, Takuya snaps out of his Beastie Boys obsession when Tommy cries into his eyeball and then defeats Gigasmon and leaves Zoe's spirit behind because patriarchy.
In episode 13, Better an Egg Than an Eggshell, a.k.a. Oops, Another Angemon, the kids finally reach the forest terminal and learn that mirrors are the undoing of middle-aged men. Frontier tries to one-up Adventure by killing off palette swaps of both Angemon and Wizardmon in one episode.
In episode 14, Noemon, a.k.a. Secret Tunnel! With Yellow Angemon defeated, the kids set across the ocean in Waymon for the island of Not Server.
In episode 15, Beastie Girl, a.k.a. The beach episode. The show's quality takes a break as the kids decide to do a beach episode, and everyone except for Zoe has their Digimon account revoked for stupidity.
In episode 16, the Swiss Family Digimon, aka How Far Will Not Go, the kids try to drown themselves by riding a raft into whirlpools, but accidentally end up in a rerun of the previous week's battle.
In episode 17, Bizarre Bizarre, aka This Little Piggy Went to Market, the kids chase Toucan Sam to the Autumn Leaf Fair. Tommy wins his Bee Spirit in a shady Space Invaders knockoff, and everyone gets their Digivices back through the power of pity.
In episode 18, Trailmon vs. Trailmon, aka Please Stop Talking About Digilube, the kids get distracted on their way to the ominously pretentious star, and finally each get a Digimon partner. But they're all trains. Also, there's way too much talk about Digilube.
In episode 19, You Want Fries With That? Aka Welcome to Digiburger, home of the Digiburger, can I take your order? The kids arrive at the Good Burger, but are quickly sucked into an episode of Iron Chef. Or maybe Chopped. Takuya and Koji are so absorbed in cooking for each other that they don't notice that everyone else is abducted.
Okay, so this was an unprecedented number of episodes for us to be covering on Podigest, and I think we can all agree that this is the chunk of the best episodes of Digimon ever. The longest run of 10 great episodes, amazing quality.
I totally didn't write kill me several times in my notes.
Oh, that's dark, actually.
I was real mad. I was like, I don't have time for this nonsense.
I Ashley and I both watched the majority of these episodes yesterday at least you played hockey yesterday, but I was just like, my day is this.
Ugh.
And
why did you do that to yourself? Even I broke it up into two sittings.
Oh, it was multiple sittings because it was over the course of the entire day. So
no, but like, I did it over 2 days.
I watched it last week. Yeah. Someone owes me a cat.
Some episodes. I watched one episode on like Wednesday and then two on Friday or something.
Ugh.
Or three on Friday. I had six to watch yesterday.
Oh yeah, I had seven because I watched one on Thursday, two on Friday, and then seven on Saturday.
I actually rewatched some episodes of Ash.
Oh boy.
Wow, so you got all the awful twice.
Yeah, he rewatched like some of the worst episodes with me.
Why?
Because I cried.
Because there was an amount of nostalgia involved because that beach episode was on all the time. Yeah.
So I think we can summarize this arc with...
This is so dumb!
Yes.
This is so dumb!
I love that.
You tell it like it is.
Takuya summarizing this whole show.
We can also describe how many episodes we had to watch with...
My tummy feels like a melon!
What? I loved when he said that.
Melon!
Like,
melon! Melon!
Oh, boy.
All in favor of revoking Jeff's...
soundboard?
Soundboard privileges, say aye.
Oh, no!
All right, that one was good.
He's redeemed himself.
Yes.
Yeah, so, okay, we've alluded to it. What did we think about this arc?
It was garbage!
Except for like one or two episodes.
I kept calling it garbage while I was watching because Andrew was there, so I had someone to actually talk to for once, and I thought of you, Ashley.
Yeah, you were just like, garbage. Garbage.
What?
You were just like garbage constantly. Okay, were there moments? I guess.
Oh, there was one moment. There's one moment that is like the height of my Frontier nostalgia. And remember, Frontier got me into fandom in a big
way.
Was
it the jacket moment?
Yes, it was the jacket moment.
I was like, is this what Ash has been referring to?
Yes.
The one moment.
The one moment.
One moment to, change all the course of history.
It was a pretty strong moment, but I was like, I guess this has to be it. This was it. This was the thing that...
When you have shipper's goggles on, there are a lot of moments, okay? But that was the big one. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
The moments.
When it came back around in the recap, there was like a shot of them having fallen off the raft or whatever, and I was like, Koji's jacket really does match Zoe's outfit rather well.
Right?
So I guess
that means, like, right? That's what I'm saying. They looked great together. other. Although I must say, this arc made me rethink a lot of my ships, but I don't...
I mean...
Is this the place to talk about it?
In what way?
As we're talking about the quality and everything, I just want to, you know, briefly... I mean, we had the recap and stuff, but, like, I just want to briefly allude to the fact that, like, this arc is more so than... This happens for most of the arcs that we cover. They're, like, not decisive, like, here's the beginning of a story and here's the end of a story. It's a, like, you know, we're talking about them as arcs, but it's, like, it's really just, like, a bunch of episodes. And because we're covering Frontier in fewer podcast episodes, it inevitably... They have to cross some lines. So I think there's a natural breaking point at the... episode 13, when they meet Seraphimon. And that kind of is, like, where the tone shifts for the next couple episodes. And, like, we're spanning... We broke it down by beast spirits. That was the most natural thing, but it does kind of, like, I don't know. It, like, there's, like, you know, dramatic tension. Then everything shifts, and then it's like, okay, here's the new status quo. But there's also lots of random filler-ish episodes, and it's a strange breakdown of episodes. It's a very weird assortment we watched, I thought.
Oh, see, when you brought up Seraphimon on the heels of my shipping conversation, I thought you were going to talk about Seraphimon and Sorcerermon.
Sorcerermon was like totally like, I love you, Seraphimon.
He is really, you are my really,
I love you. I will follow you to your death because I love you so much.
Yeah, it was intense.
But if Sorcerermon really loved Seraphimon that much, he would have tried to take care of the egg. He wouldn't have left the egg behind.
Oh, no. He had to give the kids time to escape with the egg.
Oh, okay. He loved it so much that he had to let it go.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I mean, the legendary warriors are important, and he's not, because he's not a legendary warrior.
Because he's just a recoloring of Wizardmon, who's more important.
He was cool, though. I liked him.
I'm questioning whether legendary warriors are that important or competent.
competent, no.
They shouldn't be important.
It depends on who has it.
That's true, but also the legendary warriors are kind of their own people in a way. It's complicated.
Yeah.
The show has very much not explained this to me. I'm like, okay, so like, y'all are like, I have these legendary, like, I found them, they are for me, but also like other Digimon, just go get them. Like, I would have loved to see Grumblemon turn into Kazemon. Like, please slide evolution into that, man. Like, what the hell?
Why didn't that happen?
Because gender.
Okay, obviously. But also, why didn't that happen?
Yeah. My point still stands. Why didn't that happen?
And so Ash, you briefly alluded to nostalgia. How does this arc, how do the episodes in this arc live up to nostalgia? Were there any things that you, aside from the shippy moment, that you were really looking forward to?
No. Because even when I was young, these are some of the 10 most forgettable episodes that exist.
aside from the Seraphimon, I mean, that's...
No, I actually have more memories of Beastie Girl than of the Seraphimon episode. I had no idea what was going to happen in the Seraphimon episode, except that he was going to turn into an egg. But that's because I remember Patamon. My nostalgia in this case is not rose-tinted. I knew I was going to hate these episodes, and I didn't enjoy hating them as much as I wanted to. Nothing good. The good things that happened surprised me. I did not remember them because I was very unfair to a certain character named Tommy when I was younger.
It's true. I do have to say, the moment where Koji and Takuya find Tommy after Tommy has been trying to find like something to trade, and he runs into the Toucanmon and whatever, and they run away from him.
Yeah.
Like, when Takuya gives him a hug, I'm like, I'm genuinely endeared by Takuya and Tommy's brother. Right? Yeah. Aww. That's the one good thing.
That was the one good thing.
The one good episode.
That was the one decent episode.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that good.
Yeah, it was just like, well, this is way better than the other episodes.
Exactly.
Oh. Anyway, can we discuss how JP's clothes don't make any sense? And that's why it was funny when, after Koji gave the jacket, and JP's like, why doesn't Zoe like ask me for stuff? And I'm like, because you're wearing a jumpsuit. Yeah, like, why are you wearing a jumpsuit? You look like you work at a gas station in Japan. Like, what are you?
He's the mechanical ones.
I guess. He would not be wearing that.
No, nobody would ever be wearing that.
Yeah.
I'm 12 years old. 12 years old?
Yeah. Maybe. It's really the 12 years old that gets me. whatever.
Was there any other nostalgia for this season that, or for this arc that did or did not live up to expectations?
When they tickled Koji, I liked that.
The Great Trailmon Race was not as fun as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I feel like I thought the filler episodes would be better than they actually were.
Why would you ever think that about a filler episode?
We had just watched all these crappy episodes. I was like, all right, at least you can be funny, filler. Oh, you're not even that funny. Like, what?
Nope.
Fail. Nope. I mean, it had a Shadow Wergurumon in it, which was like, okay, I'm done with that.
You mean Black Wergurumon?
They called him Shadow Wergurumon.
Yeah.
You think the dub is always right?
I think they were correct to do that in this case.
Yes.
I think that is canonical for the discussion, for the media we are discussing. Burn.
How is that a burn?
It's a burning Greymon. The only, nostalgia-based disappointment I have is that I think this is, the largest chunk of episodes from what I consider to be the show's really compelling pacing of the villains. Oh, yeah, and, they get introduced to Grumblemon, and then they fight Grumblemon a bunch, and they get introduced to the other ones, and they keep, getting strung along, and there's no, divisions of arcs, in a fine-grained level, adventure, where it's, we're just tackling Devimon for several episodes. Okay, now we're just tackling Edamon. Instead, it's just, this rotating cast that keeps stringing them along, and it's so great, and you're so, interested in them climbing the ladder, so to speak, through the villain team, and... No, we haven't finished doing quote unquote whatever I said that was, but yeah, I mean there's only one evil legendary warrior is actually gone for good so far, so there's still four left. But I think this is the largest chunk of episodes of what I consider to be that them fighting them and stuff. And from what I recall, I think the other all of them aside from Mercuriumon and Duskmon don't have much of a role in the coming episodes, or they have for an episode or two have an important role.
But, they all have such OP powers. Mercurymon is I just hold up my shield and then I reflect back your attack.
Are there limits to that? Can it be the strongest attack in the world and it just, reflects? That just seems, way too...
Yeah.
Especially for just his human spirit. We haven't seen Mercurymon's beast spirit yet.
No.
Yeah. And, that attack is both offensive and defensive because it's, shield blocked it. Oh, here you go. Back at you. I'm like, what?
I mean, I like how the levels, the human spirits are roughly are equivalent in the way the season is structured to champions, and beast spirits are roughly equivalent to ultimates. But I like how there are things that break that Mercuriumon as a human spirit is much stronger than everyone else. And, spoiler, whatever, Duskmon is too. And so I like that, but having one attack that can just trump anything and it's just defeating, I'm curious how Mercuriumon gets defeated, because it's that seems way too powerful. And is it really just you need to trick him into not using that one attack that he can use to trump anything? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure they ever overcome that.
They need to find the strongest spear. Wow, I actually walked into that one.
Maybe it can only reflect back magic-based projectiles, that it can't reflect back something physical or something. If you're throwing a sword at him, he can't, reflect the sword back.
So you're saying that Kazemon doing her Keijo moves will be effective?
Oh my god, that would be hilarious. I want that to happen.
And he would be like, how humiliating.
How humiliating. You put your butt in my shield.
Kazemon used a fire attack against a steel type.
Please don't call her butt fire.
Why? Because it's hot?
Anyway. Ashley.
Right there.
Ashley.
Me, what?
I have a nostalgia-based question for you.
Me? I don't remember. Okay.
Were these episodes the farce, quote-unquote, the farce that you so notoriously keep mentioning?
I don't think so. No.
No, I don't think so. I think I know exactly what
I think
she's talking
it's
about.
After this. Yeah.
It's when Duskmon starts being a thing.
That's not a forest.
It looks like a forest.
Isn't it
if it looks like a forest and it
And it talks like a forest.
Sits still like a forest.
But is it a breakfast cereal?
My recollection of that area is that it's like completely desolate, and like if there are trees, they're like dying and stuff. That's my...
Yeah, so? They're still there.
Well, she didn't say they're stuck in a dying forest.
Oh my god, Jeff.
Okay.
Listen, it wasn't these episodes, Jeff. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, that makes... Like, I always thought when you were talking about the forest that you meant, like, the place where, in the last arc, where they have the Tommy Nightmare episode, and that...
No.
Because, like, they are in forest-y areas for some of these episodes, going back and forth.
They're in a forest, but they are not in the forest.
Yeah, no, I think what Ashley's talking about is that really ugly, off-color, reddish forest. You know what I'm talking about, Ashley.
No, she doesn't.
Look, I remember it was more towards the middle of the series where I was like, it's just so sick of you children. Like, so sick.
Okay.
So sick of you wandering around, having no goals, like, whatever. Like,
oh my god, they're so bad at fighting. They're just always... Ugh.
Yes.
I feel like none of the other seasons, like, we've lamented that, like, that compared to 0-2, Adventure's fights felt fairly lackluster, and that they were just like, I use one attack, I use another attack, okay, now we win. Like, they're very formulaic and basic.
That's every kid show ever, Jeff.
But they're not. Like, 0-2 did things like that more complexly.
You just described Tamers every definitely kid did more show. Complexly.
But compared to those things, like, the way fights are handled here, like, there's like, oh my god, why are you doing... okay, like, I'm trying to, like, the thing that stands out to my mind the most, because it was the most recent episode, was the Bergamon one, where they 3-on-1 struggle to defeat Peldramon, fight him to a standstill, and then Peldramon goes to sleep, and they just leave, and it's like, what?
He went to sleep after he
He goes to sleep.
He went back to sleep.
He goes to sleep, and then they destroy the building he's in, instead of attacking him anymore. It's like, this is the perfect opportunity to defeat him for good, but... okay. And yeah some of it, the kids just seem stupid in the narrative we're given, and some of them are just like, this narrative is tight, narrative is ridiculous.
Or maybe they're just kids.
But they know that they have to go defeat them, like,
yeah, they're not just like, oh well. I mean, I think part of it is inherent to the structure of these, like, I mean, like the Black War Greymon arc of 0-2, where they, you know, had to fight him for however many episodes it was, 6 episodes or whatever, but couldn't defeat him at any point. This is like, okay, we need them to fight over and over again, but they can't actually defeat them because we need to use these characters later on. It did feel strange, given how, like, in the beginning of this arc, there's the whole shenanigans with taking Gigasmon's spirit and him trying to get back and stuff like that, that one way they could have made all of these fights a bit less, you know, samey, is to have some spirits going back and forth, because once Grumblemon's defeated, there's basically no spirits being exchanged. You know, like, if they took Kalmarmon's spirit, and then she was trying to get back in the next arc, if they, like, if they were just, or, I don't know, if there were any of those things, it would have made them feel a little bit more like, they're not just fighting to a standstill, and then they run away. It's like Team Rocket, almost, like.
Yeah.
Team Rocket recently won.
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh my god, it's like American politics for real. Bad people just said it.
Too far. I like how the show has had so many color swaps. I don't know if it's more than other seasons. I think it is more than other seasons, but that, you know, they keep acknowledging it in, at least in the dub. And, you know, like, when they meet Wizardmon, they're like, when they meet Sorcerermon, you're like, oh, you're just Wizardmon. When they meet Goblinmon, they're like, oh, you're just Shaman. Or sorry, when they meet Shamanmon, they're like, oh, you're just Goblinmon.
It's like there's diversity in this world.
I'm not sure diversity is the word I would use here.
Yeah.
Biodiversity. Digital diversity.
It feels lazy.
Yeah, it is lazy. I think it's at least, you know, having the kids acknowledge it and be confused by it is like, I think it's a putting the laziness to good use to some degree. Wait. What did you guys think about the announcer of the Trailmon race? What was his name? What Digimon was it?
Piedmon.
Okay.
Piedmon.
As in Cupid.
You passed the test. Okay.
I didn't know. I was like, why is Angemon pink?
Yeah, I was like, why does Angemon look so weird?
But Andrew told me as we were watching.
There's also an Angemon later on.
Yeah, I got confused about that.
In the same episode?
Yep. No.
Oh, later on this season. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, but I feel like the reskinning Digimon doesn't, like, This show is always so wiffly waffly about, like, Waymon has this personality trait. And I'm like, what are you talking about? There are several different Waymon. Is that, like, are you, like, using eugenics? Are you saying that all Waymon have this freaking personality trait? Like, I don't understand. So then to have, like, recolorings of those Digimon just makes it even more confusing. It's like, okay, what, like, what's different about these? Why are they the same Digimon but different colors?
This season is not big on its Digiworld mechanics.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I'm like, please tell me more about these villages where, you know, in training Digimon apparently live next to Ultimates and y'all are cool with that. Because, I don't know, previous seasons of Digimon have led me to believe that that's not cool.
I think this season is, of the available seasons, of the Digimon seasons, is the most one that feels like it has a fleshed out digital world. And
it's just falling apart.
Well, sure, but it's also, in premise, falling apart with these things where it's like, yeah, this doesn't... It still has a lot of the same problems that Digimon always has, which is the... You know, describing Digimon with that null canon lore or whatever that is, you know, supposed to apply to all of them somehow, and it's weirdly speciesist or racist or whatever. And.
Well, Pokemon does the same thing, so whatever.
Yeah, that's how I excuse my media. If Pokemon does it, it's okay.
When Pokemon does
What about Yo-Kai Watch?
When Pokemon does it, it feels like is, you know, they're very purposely saying, here is what this species of animal. These are the behavioral traits of the species of animal, and they have different. They can have different personalities when that, just like animals in the real world do. When Digimon does it, it's like, this is a character, and you're like, wait, this character is the species, and it's like, yes, and we're like, wait, but what is that? And they're like, yes, and it's like, wait, yeah, so which one is it? And they're like, yes, and it's like,
Digimon doesn't make the, like, they're just like, Goblimon, you're bad, and I'm like, which Goblimon? Like all the Goblimon? Like who? Like because they don't differentiate between a Goblimon and, like, Goblimon species.
Right. What if they want to be, like, Wreck-It Ralph?
I mean, what I'm thinking in particular is the, whatever it's called in this, the Digi-Analyzer. I forget if they call it that in this season. But, like, it's that kind of information that's stole it out.
They call it Pokemon.
No, it's Mysterious Voice.
Oh, is it Ophanimon?
Is it Ophanimon? Yeah, isn't that made clear that it's Ophanimon?
Pokemon just does the spirits.
It doesn't make sense for Ophanimon to be narrating the Digimon they run across.
Well,
nothing makes sense.
It's a similar, like, female voice, but I don't think it's supposed to be Ophanimon.
Okay. It's Ophanimon.
I'm pretty sure it's Ophanimon.
Let's talk about adventure callbacks. Like I mentioned in the recaps, Wizardmon sacrifices himself again, but he's recolored. Angemon sacrifices him, or not Angemon, Seraphimon slash new golden Angemon. Dies in the same episode that Angemon died.
Is he golden? I always... Not his dominant color golden. Is green to me.
His dominant color is blue.
His wings are yellow.
His wings are yellow, yes. I was wondering if calling him yellow Angemon was a colorblind thing for you, Jeff.
No, it's just a racist thing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he only has three colors, and it's just silver, blue, and yellow.
I've actually always thought of him as being mostly yellow. Like, aren't his wings his, like, primary? Wait, are they not? Are the wings not yellow?
The wings are yellow.
Okay.
But I don't consider that the dominant thing, I guess. I'm usually looking at people's heads.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't even know what the dominant color is anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, he is killed in the same episode that Angemon was killed in Adventure, episode 13.
Really?
He wasn't killed. He was turned into a Digi-Egg.
Which is the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, but also that mechanic of being turned into a Digi-Egg and being carrying around the Digi-Egg for the rest of the show is also very similar to Angemon.
Angemon was killed before that.
No, I mean, because...
No, 13.
Like, they meet Devmon in, like, 9 or 10, and then they get split up, and they come back and fight him in 13. Yeah. And... Of course, then the Angemon sacrifice being followed by Waymon and crossing the sea and also having a raft. And yeah, there are lots of little things. But I don't know, I appreciate how, like, those callbacks don't detract. It doesn't feel like they detract from this season at all. It just feels like, oh, wait, that's a nice thing to, like, notice or whatever. But it does not, like, this narrative suffers from trying to recreate adventure things.
Yeah.
No, it suffers from other things.
Sure.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yes.
I don't have more to say about it, so that's why I'm fitting it into here. I like how in other seasons we complained about Digivolution being, like, based on what the mechanics had told us in the universe, they are completely, like, plot contrivances. Like, they were just objects that you get. like the Digicores and stuff like that in Adventure Zero Two, but or the Digi Eggs in Zero Two as well. But they also, for some reason, had to be tied into cathartic character moments, like in Adventure, even though it didn't make sense with the plot, you know, reason. But I like how this season takes it purely in the, like, no, they're just objects. Like, they get tossed, or, like, it takes it to, I think, its logical conclusion, where it's like, they're objects, they can be taken, they can be traded, they can be, you know, like, held hostage, they can restrict your power and stuff. I wish they did more with that, but I don't know. What do you all feel about that?
They are still tied to certain character things. I'm not sure what else to call it.
I mean, in the evolution moments or in like who the spirits have affinities for?
Both.
I think it's not like because they are just objects, the episodes where they evolve are just like, well, we're just digivolved, they have no character moment here. I think it makes sense they still need to have that character moment. I find it frustrating how they do have affinities for the spirits or whatever, because I think that's where the like Digidestined and like Ophanimon chose them and brought them here, and like half Ophanimon chose them, half they are the ones who responded to the call, totally breaks down, because it's like, wait, these five are the ones that happen to get on the right Trailmon, and they happen to have the right spirits, and they happen to...
Nothing about this makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a prophecy...
No, I think that maybe there's more to that prophecy.
Digimon can't do prophecies.
I thought maybe there's more to that prophecy explained later, but I interpreted what the Sorcerer Mon was talking about. The prophecy was that it was just Ophanimon setting up this plan and then telling others about the plan as if it were a prophecy.
Okay, that is not what I got out of that at all, but that makes much more sense.
I mean, it does still break down, because it's like, okay, but then how did Ophanimon get the exact number of kids that happened to fit with these spirits really well, and there are no extras in there?
I don't know.
Except there are extras.
Yeah, there are later. But they're totally separate. We can forget about them until it happens.
No, there are probably a ton of extra kids out there.
Well, not
they
anymore.
Died.
Yeah, they probably died.
Well, shit.
Does anyone have a favorite episode?
Bizarre.
Yeah. I guess.
It's okay to be wrong. It's okay.
What? Jeff, what are you going to be wrong about?
Yeah, Jeff, what's your wrong opinion?
I actually didn't have an answer.
Wow, so you're just salty then.
I think I would pick the Seraphimon one.
You're wow, so weird.
No. You no. know. Just no.
Does anyone have a least favorite episode?
Ooh.
All of them. Beastie Girl.
Particular. No, I hate the Swiss Family Digimon more.
Yeah, you're right. I actually think I hate that one more.
Swiss Family Digimon just felt like it was a retread of Beastie Girl in a lot of the frustrating ways.
Oh, no, but it took it to another level. It was like, oh, well, now Ranamon's not pretty, so, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens to Beastie Girl, too.
No,
it's,
but we'll
it's
get
more,
there.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
worse.
I also just felt like there was so much less...
It expands on it very much.
I feel like nothing really happened in that episode aside from that fight, which was the same fight from before with more bad humor and, like, offensive humor added on top of it. And so it was just, like, at least Beastie Girl had, like, oh, they're doing beach stuff, which, like, you know, you can, like, you're like, oh, another anime beach episode. But at least it is, like, kind of fun to see them at the beach a little bit. So Sony Digimon's, like, it's not
was
fun
it?
To watch
it was
them.
Fun to see JP in that pink bathing suit that he was wearing.
I didn't notice it was pink, but also, like, I get frustrated thinking about how JP...
You can't.
Yes, I can't see... I'm like the people in The Giver who can't see color.
Yeah.
I'm like, this apple, there's like a weird glimmer to it. What is it? Is it color?
Jeff is living the young adult dystopia. He is the Giver.
We should get you those glasses that let you see color. They exist, so...
Yeah, but
it's
those
true.
Are expensive.
I kind of want to buy them for him just to, like, see your reaction, though. Like, I want to see what you're like.
Right,
is this what
right?
the world looks like?
I kind of lost thread of this. I forget what we were talking about a couple of minutes ago.
You were talking about JP.
No.
JP in his bathing suit.
No. Before that, I just want to end this note on the discussion of, like, it seems like a pretty good summary of the season in general. Is that, like, things seem cool on the surface, and then it's like everything breaks down when you think about it more, or actually rewatch it closely, or
I just don't know that many things even seem that cool on the surface. And then it's like, oh, you really didn't sell me on that.
yep.
Oh, but my JP frustration is like, can't you just like show him being chubby? Like you have to be like, no, he must have a shirt on. Like, I don't.
He wasn't wearing a shirt, right? It was just like a one-piece bathing suit.
Yeah, it's weird. Yep. I mean, maybe that is more societally normal in Japan, but like, I never had anything like as a kid who thought of myself as super chubby. I don't know how, like, looking back, how chubby I was, but like, I would like when we would go swimming at school. There was like some field trip we had like at the end of the school year, or whatever.
Oh, I remember those trips.
With swimming, and I was like, I'm too embarrassed to take my shirt off. So I like tried swimming with a shirt on, and I was like, no, this is much worse. Like the shirt ends up like sticking to you weirdly, and it's like, oh, this like makes it more obvious that I am way too chubby. And I don't know. I guess like a one piece bathing suit is better than that.
Well, I mean, if it was made out of bathing suit material, then it would be like not stick to you weirdly.
Right. I guess the weird thing about a shirt is that it like tightly hugs the chub.
Yeah.
In a way that a bathing suit does, but doesn't look so bad.
Yeah. As someone who also went swimming in the pool with a shirt and shorts on for different reasons, I don't know where I was going with that. Mostly show solidarity. the idea of like body image as it's portrayed here is god awful, and I think I'm annoyed in general with the way this show treats the bodies and also the characters and personalities and everything of anyone who isn't on the Takuya Koji model. Like, Tommy, JP, and Zoe are all penalized for not being a skinny boy. Mm. So, it's not just JP that is frustrating.
But I mean, it's not like Tommy's body issue. Like, it's not like Tommy has body issues or is penalized for that.
But Zoe does.
Yeah. In some ways find it a little more frustrating, like as a kid who was chubby and like was jealous whenever there were characters like Takuya and Koji who were super skinny, like I almost found it more frustrating adventure when there were however many, would there have been five guys,
skinny boys,
five guys who looked who were identical, like even the nerdy kid, like super skinny, like they all have the same skinniness, and I was like, okay, I guess that's how just you're supposed to be. And Frontier definitely handles it very poorly, but
they tried.
I was gonna say they tried, but then I'm like, did they try? I don't know.
They made a token effort.
Mm.
They don't get the actual you tried star. They get the crappy you tried star, the one that's all like melting.
I was gonna say they get the like star placed down, but then it gets revoked. Then it's like they kind of have the like outline of a star where a star used to be.
There was a hole here, but it's gone now.
Welcome to Coastal Clash, our semi-new Family Feud-esque, but legally distinct from Family Feud, probably, except not actually legally distinct because we're not lawyers, segment of the show where we have asked our listeners 10 bizarre, ridiculous questions about characters from this arc. So for this episode, the first 5 are about the evil legendary warriors, and the last set of 5 are about the beast spirit evolutions. So our contestants this time for East Coast, representing the East Coast, we have Andrew, and representing the West Coast, we have Ashley.
Oh, yes.
So each, the first 5 questions, the 5 answers are the legendary warriors. We're thinking of them as characters for these first 5. So thinking of the human spirits. And so that's Grumblemon, Ranamon, Arbormon,
Mercurymon,
and Desmon. I was like, oh, come on. And the beast spirits are Burning Greymon, Kendo Garurumon, Korikakumon, Metal Kabuterimon, and Zephyrmon. And yeah, I think that's all I need to explain. I at least should write a script, so at least like write the points I need to explain in this part. Anyway, so we're going to start with East Coast, since West Coast was first last time. So Ashley needs to remove herself from the call.
Goodbye, call.
Andrew, the music will start once I finish asking the first question. And then once the music ends, that's the end of... I think I'll keep asking you questions just for funsies, but we won't score them if it goes beyond that. But I mean, last week, everyone got it within 60 seconds, so it should be fine. Hopefully. Okay, Andrew. Who would become a meme about alternative facts if they were U.S. press secretary?
Mercurymon.
Who would be mad that Yuri on Ice swept the Crunchyroll Anime Awards?
Ranamon.
who would be the first to pre-order a Nintendo Switch?
Grumblemon. No, Arbormon.
Who would still be using a flip phone in 2017?
Grumblemon.
Who would be the worst at calling their parents regularly?
Arbormon.
Okay, now, Beast Spirits, who needs a makeover the most? 30 seconds.
Kendo Garurumon.
Which is the most likely to join the Beastie Boys?
Burning Greymon.
Which is the biggest upgrade from their human spirit form? 15 seconds.
Horikakumon.
Which is the biggest downgrade from their human spirit form?
Kendo Garurumon.
Who is closest to a wrestling character?
Horikakumon.
Okay, cool.
I can't believe I managed to spell every Digimon's name correctly.
I've come back.
I'm trying to decide if I should tell you the number of points Andrew got.
No.
Okay, no. Okay. Ashley, are you ready?
Maybe. Yes.
I'm not ready because I had to find the music thing because I didn't.
So evil people are first, be spirit.
Yes. The evil.
Let's see how many I mess up.
Okay. Who would become a meme about alternative facts if they were U.S. press secretary?
Holy crap. Mercurymon?
Who would be mad that Yuri on Ice swept the Crunchyroll Anime Awards?
Jessmon.
Who would be the first to pre-order a Nintendo Switch?
Armormon.
Who would still be using a flip phone in 2017?
Grumblemon.
Who would be the worst at calling their parents regularly?
Duskmon.
Okay, now good Beast Spirits. Who needs a makeover the most?
Metal Kabuterimon.
Which is most likely to join the Beastie Boys? 10 seconds.
Tommy's thing.
Which is the biggest upgrade from human spirit form? 3 seconds.
Burning Greymon.
Which is the biggest downgrade? Okay,
Zephyrmon.
last two don't count for points.
Wow.
Who is the closest to a wrestling character?
Metal Kabuterimon? Honestly, Kendo Garurumon. I was like, what? I can't even remember Kendo Garurumon.
Okay, so now to reveal the scores. Okay, so for the question, who would become a meme about alternative facts if they were U.S. press secretary? Andrew and Ashley both said Mercurymon. Survey says 60, which was the highest. Second highest was Grumblemon with 18.
Well, that's just sad.
Yes, it was. It was actually a problem generating these graphs from Google spreadsheets. I'd do it by like selecting a column and then it would like choose like make graph whatever. But for the first like 20 results that came in, they were all Mercurymon for that one. So Google spreadsheets was like, "There's no data here. This is just a list of the same thing." And I had to wait until someone actually chose a different answer. And eventually people did. Like, you know, it's only 60%. Okay. Who would be mad that Yuri on Ice swept the Crunchyroll Anime Awards? Andrew said Ranamon, with survey says 36. Ashley said Duskmon, survey says 5.
I was actually confused and thought I had to say unique answers for all of them.
Oh.
Until, like, number 4. Yeah.
That's why you, like, took longer to answer, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
usually the obvious one.
Yeah. So for that one, Ranamon was second place. First place was Grumblemon with 40.
Because he's a grumble.
Yeah, I guess he's angry about things and is the most...
Grumblemon angry about things.
Mm-hmm. The question of who would be the first to pre-order a Nintendo Switch? Andrew said Arbormon. Oh, Ashley also said Arbormon. And survey says 31. That was the number one. Yeah, okay. It was pretty... Grumblemon and Ranamon.
He's the most bro-y. What's up? Bad boy.
and Nintendo was the bro gaming console of all the bro-y gaming consoles.
Your bros only play video games. I mean, look at Tommy. He's such a bro.
Forget about it. I think that's the accent you're imitating and calling bro. Anyway. Who would still be using a flip phone in 2017? Andrew said Grumblemon. You both said Grumblemon. I keep saying Andrew said this, but Ashley said that. Oh, wait, same thing. You both said Grumblemon, which was not... Survey says 24, which was the second highest. The highest was Arbormon.
Not number one. armor? No.
Because he's a bro, and bros don't use cell phones. Like,
I agree with the people here.
Shut up, Asher.
Wait, who was the first one in this?
Armormon.
I guess. I'll accept it.
And the last question for the evil legendary warriors, who would be the worst at calling their parents regularly? Andrew said Arbormon. Ashley said Duskmon. Arbormon server says 5. Duskmon server says 58. So that was
my coming back.
But that was the other answer that I couldn't make a graph for. I couldn't make a chart for initially because all the first 20 answers were all Duskmon.
See, was like, that was really? That was the one where I was like, wait, I don't have to say unique answers, and I'm not going to say Ranamon because that's wrong.
And then on to the beast spirits. Question of who needs a makeover the most. Andrew said Kendogurumon. Survey says 11. Ashley said Metal Kabutarimon. Survey says 29. This one was actually pretty evenly divided. Looks like I can't see numbers. That 29 for Metal Kabutarimon was the highest. And then Cory Kakumon and Zephyrmon tied with 25. So it's actually a really symmetrical graph. It's like, and the question of which is most likely to join the Beastie Boys. Another oddly symmetrical graph. Andrew said Burning Greymon for 21. Ashley said Cory Kakumon for 39, which was, those are the first two, the number one, number two. Question of which is the biggest upgrade from their human spirit form? Andrew said Cory Kakumon. Ashley said Burning Greymon. Cory Kakumon was 38. Burning Greymon was 24. And those are the top two. Biggest downgrade, Andrew said Kendogurumon. And Ashley, for no points, because it was too late, said Zephyrmon. Kendogurumon was 35. Zephyrmon was 15. The question, and those were not the second one was, first place was Kendogurumon. Second place was Metal Kabutarimon. To the question of who is the closest to a wrestling character, Andrew said Cory Kakumon for 57. Ashley said Metal Kabutarimon, also unscored for 16. So, yeah, because machines totally wrestle. That's a thing, according to Ashley.
I think blanks. Metal Kabutarimon would have too much of an advantage.
Ashley was thinking of the robot wrestling. What's it called?
Robot Wars.
Robot Wars, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, isn't there a different for the series you're watching a couple months ago because classmate was in it or something? Is it called Robot Wars?
I can't remember what it's called. I think it's
called it. Anyway, so the total number of points, Ashley got 270 points. Andrew got 319. So East Coast wins.
East Coast has won both times. And honestly, I'm fine with that because East Coast is a better coast.
What?
Screw you, West Coast.
You know,
Coast.
East Coast is just a metaphor, actually. Stop betraying your...
I hate it on the West Coast. Get me out of here.
Join us in the future.
It's just strange undercurrent every time that she's like, I don't like the West Coast. I've been chosen to represent a bad coast. I mean, actually, all of America is terrible right now, so...
That's not true.
Whatever, I'm going to vote for Calexit and then...
No.
Cause the apocalypse.
Oh. Oh boy. Okay. Now we're going to talk about a Patreon submitted topic from Mega Level Patreon, Mega Level Patreon, Sam Kuwagamon. And the general threading for this topic is humans versus beasts. And Sam basically gave us a couple of different questions to discuss. Most of them are about the distinction between humans and beast spirits. So, first question was, what are everyone's thoughts of having spirits divided up into human and beast? Anyone want to start?
Sure. I like it, except that it bugs me that they have different power levels.
Right. Okay, I don't like it because, one, it doesn't make any sense. They describe that there was a war between human spirits and beast spirits, but beast spirits are clearly stronger, so did the humans just get, like, owned?
No. It's a difference between human-shaped Digimon and beast-shaped Digimon. It's not between the spirits.
Wasn't that the movie?
Yes. And that's why the movie is there.
That doesn't make it any more sense.
No, it doesn't. And that's why this difference in power, I don't like it.
Okay, but I think it also makes things about human nature very confusing. So I feel like it's trying to make some commentary on it with beast spirits, but it's like, but you have a human spirit? It's very confusing to me.
For me, okay, like, if the power thing wasn't a thing, I'd have a better explanation for this. But for me, the fact that the kids are human means that the ease of control that they have over their human spirits makes perfect sense. Of course, it would be harder to control something they are not, but...
So you're saying if a dog came into the digital world and got spirits, they could control the beast spirit easily, but have trouble being a human spirit.
Yes, although dogs are a complicated business because they have been, you know, domesticated.
Yeah.
But if a wolf got into the digital world and got Kendo Garurumon's spirit, then I think he'd have a great time.
Or oh my god, why didn't this show go in that direction? Animals come in!
Right? Right?
It would be so much better!
Holy crap. Yeah, so like, but then the show ruins it by making the beast spirit stronger, so then it seems like, oh, it's a power problem. And then the fact that Zephyrmon has no trouble and is more human shaped and. Yeah. I have so many problems.
It's also when Zoe digivolves to Zephyrmon, like, all the boys have, like, the thing is more beastly, like, its eyes and then, like, a growling mouth, like, appears or whatever. Yeah. For her, it's just, I'm pretty sure it was just eyes. Like, there was no mouth
because Zephyrmon
doesn't, like, have a mouth even.
So what it's implying there is Kazemon is, like, a young magical girl archetype, whatever. And Zephyrmon is an adult woman. What it's saying is that adult women are beasts. And
that is what it's saying.
Oh my god.
I thought it was just because Zephyrmon has feathers and that's closer to fur than a butterfly has. But I don't know.
I guess, but can we talk about how Zephyr... All right, no, we're not going to go there. Anyway.
We're not going to go there. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just also the power level thing, in addition to making it about, like, they're too powerful, so they can't control them. It's also, like, human nature is always about, like, taming your beastly desires that you have because you were once an animal, but now you're a human. You must, like, have self-control sort of thing. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't, like... Well, I always disagree with, like, when bad things happen, people are just like, it's human nature. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I hate that.
That's a bullshit excuse. Like, what are you mm-hmm. saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the show is, like, playing into that in some way. And I'm just like, I don't have time for this nonsense.
Wait, so is your problem with the human nature thing that, like, human nature is, like, self-defined by us anyway? So us being... like, of just holding up our hands and being like, whatever, it's defined by human nature is, like, kind of BS because we have set that ourselves? Or are you saying that, like, human nature being used to describe something that is, like, a natural animal instinct is bad? What is your situation with it?
Like, to say that it's human nature to do something beastly is, like, no, that's a contradiction. Human nature is, like, you fought against it. And, like, the thing that makes humans great is that they are able to evolve. So to be like, oh, but sometimes you just, like, go back to your debased self is, like, that's not a good excuse to, like, say that something was okay. Or even if it wasn't okay, like, it's acceptable. Like, you understand it in some way.
Yeah. So there's that. And I also disagree that, like, beasts are inherently, so, like, animals are inherently, like, not as good or not as moral or not as smart as humans. They just have a different kind of consciousness.
Yeah. And the way that beasts are normally portrayed, particularly here, it's like, they just attack everything willy-nilly. And it's like, no, there's no animal that does that. Like,
yeah, humans do that.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, I mean, I think there are animals that... do that, but it's not a normal state.
No.
There's no animal where that's a normal state. Where, like,
well, sure, if they get rabies, but if a human gets rabies, right. They do the same thing.
That's really what it should be. Human spirits. It should be human spirits and rabies spirits. That should.
Yes, rabies, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. And then they would all be afraid of water. And I'm angry.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like trying to say that, like, yes, they've conquered these beast spirits. But it's, like, it's playing it both ways because of the power level difference. It's, like, they conquered it, and because they conquered it, they're stronger for it. And I'm like, nah. No, they're just humans. Yep. Like, whatever.
I also have a problem with the division of being human and animal, because the other division that we have is human and Digimon. So it's, like, saying that Digimon are animals in a way that, like, makes me really uncomfortable. Because Digimon actually have... human intelligence, not just, like, different animal intelligence. Yeah, and it's weird. And the Digimon are always going, oh, humans can turn into Digimon? That's so amazing. And I'm like, what exactly is impressive about this? Like, is it? No, because like, Digimon think Digimon are great. Like, if a dog suddenly turned into a human, how would we interpret that? If a dog turned into a human. Yeah. Not a human turning into a dog, which is the story of Animorphs. We all know how we feel about Animorphs.
Yeah.
I mean, a dog turning into a human happens in One Piece, kind of. It's a reindeer.
Are we talking about Tony Shuffer? Yeah. That's completely different.
He ate the human fruit, obviously.
He did not become a human, though. he becomes became annoyed. A strange, adorable creature, but not a human. There's a lifting up of humanness in this show that makes me profoundly weirded out.
Yeah, and this, you know, like, is an undercurrent that I didn't express last time talking about the quote-unquote human savior narrative that, like you're describing, but like a dog becoming human wouldn't be like, oh my God, cool dog. It'd be like, oh my God, whoa. But that like is like almost infringing on our like that. Whoa.
Yeah.
Like a Digimon should be like a little bit. I mean, we did see some Digimon who were like wary of these humans, but like, oh, humans are great. Cool. I mean, I think part of that is supposed to be built into the Digimon world's premise because it's like a world that, you know, was based on or whatever in many of the Digimon world where they have that kind of backstory based on computer and internet stuff. And so it's like, it makes some sense for them to have a weird accepting of humans since they kind of come from humans, but...
Yes, but like, why do they know that?
Right.
Why do they know of humans?
They all know of humans and it's like, no, that doesn't... There's... For all like the praise this Digimon world gets for being the most fleshed out, it still has so many holes and still has so many like no like. And there was even that one episode last arc where like the whatever they're like the evil toy Agumon were like, we're gonna go attack the human world, and it's like, wait, what? That's a thing that you can you can do? Yeah, but also yeah, like the fact something that was like an undercurrent to my whole human savior narrative last time was that like. The humans come in and they put on these masks of being Digimon and they like outperform the other Digimon. Like, it's like they come in and they're like, we're the best Digimon now. And it's like, okay, but you like, we've been at this for a while and you just come in and you're like, oh, we're better than everyone now. And it's like, okay. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was to a weird microcosm played out in the last episode we watched, the Burgermon episode, where it's like, these kids have never made burgers. Some of them have never even cooked anything before. And they're like, we're going to make the best burger. It's like, okay. And in addition to the like...
This is the conspiracy theory that America likes right now. Experts are bullshit.
Right, exactly. Like, in addition to it, like, kind of feeling vaguely similar to the White Savior narrative, which obviously isn't quite that, but like... that I talked about last time, like, it's still, yeah, it's, like, this undermining of experts and, like, this, like, oh, someone from the outside who has no idea what they're doing, but has, like, some basic flawed common sense can come in and be like, oh, here's how I would do it. Like, it, yeah, it's,
Well, okay. What in particular didn't make sense about that scene to me was that we have seen in other instances that Digiworld food tastes different than what you would expect, even though it has the symbiology of real-world food. So it doesn't make sense that the hamburgers... apparently have none of that. That makes no sense. That's just garbage.
Well, actually, so it does make sense because this hamburger featuring was totally a marketing ploy from Lotteria, a Japanese hamburger restaurant. It's unclear if this episode in particular was like, because it's not really overt. It's not like, oh yes, we are Hamburgermon from Lotteria, thumbs up. It was, but these designs actually are... there's a page on Wikimon that is a set of Digimon cards that were exclusive as like Lotteria prizes, you know, akin to getting McDonald's exclusive prizes in the US.
Yeah.
Mean a kid's meal toy?
I don't know exactly how, yes, that's what I'm talking about in the US, but I'm not sure. I assume it's something similar in Japan. And
I know McDonald's Japan has kids toys, but I'm not sure about other places.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, the Burgermon or not, but the little baby Burgermon thingies that are like the things that fly around the episode.
Toikara Ballmon.
Yeah, Toikara Ballmon. The Toikara Ball is an item on the Lotteria menu. They're like literally an item on the Lotteria menu.
And it's just karaage.
Right. It's just like karaage or like chicken nuggets, but it's...
I totally thought they were onions.
But yeah, the name is explicitly... Wrong. The name is explicitly a Lotteria menu item, so... there's that.
Okay. Interesting.
I want to go to that place now. That is super effective marketing.
I do. I was like, oh, whatever. Oh, wait, this is the burger chain that was tied in with Digimon. So cool.
Well, Jeff, you can in yes. Soon. Okay, I did a bad job explaining human nature thing. I'm going to go back to that for a half second here. Human nature, because it reminded me with like, yeah, experts are garbage thing is like, those same people will be like, well, it was human nature. You can't regulate human nature. So stop making, trying to like make laws that make humans better. And it's like, no, that's how humans became better is by being like, we have morals and laws and like you yeah. enforce those things and make them societally unacceptable. And then people get better generally. Yes, you cannot rid everybody of evil, but like, God, I hate people. Okay.
Yeah. It's similar to my frequent frustration with lines in movies where they're like, this isn't fair. And like, well, life isn't fair. And it's like, no, life's not fair because you made it. Oh, whatever. Like, you're excusing your own actions by chalking it up yeah. to like, oh, life doesn't have to be fair. But like, sure, but you can do your best to make it that way.
Yes. Yes. People are garbage.
People are garbage, basically.
Okay. Humans are garbage. But what about beasts?
Beasts are great.
No, they're fine. It's the show... It tries to portray them in a way that's not accurate.
So the whole like concept of human forms, beast forms, human spirits, beast spirits, it's another one of Sam's questions was, does it help improve the plot or is it just a ploy to sell toys?
Everything is a ploy to sell toys. That doesn't mean it doesn't improve the plot.
Right. It's both. Yes.
I mean, it's interesting because I don't really know what toys were sold based off of this.
Yeah, I don't know.
There wasn't much for Frontier.
And my understanding is that Frontier did not do well toy marketing-wise, or, like, that's, like, where the Digimon series kind of fell off of the, like, having effective toy marketing.
The what are they called? Detectors? The detectors were cool. Those were good.
Mm. Except the scanning feature was alive for the detector.
No, it wasn't. You could just scan. You could scan anything.
You could scan the air.
I liked that part.
I mean, that is more like what the characters do in the show, is if you...
It's true. They're just... There's apparently digital bits in the air, and they're just...
You just had to press the button, that was it, and that's how I got everything.
Yep, me too. It was great.
Wow, that sounds like a dope game.
Right?
I think having the division of the human spirits and beast spirits, you know, has plenty of the issues that we just discussed. But I think in the abstract, like them having to choose a way to have different evolutions without specific character levels like they've relied on in the past seasons, I think was a clever way to do that. And it also kind of, it's not like completely original. Like it reminds me a lot of the armor evolutions in season two, having, they never broke it down this way, but like, each of the kids had a humanoid armor evolution and a four-legged armor evolution. Although mostly those, you know, four legs versus two legs. Is that a real distinction? Four legs versus...
That is a real distinction. Okay. It's quadrupedal versus bipedal.
But yeah, like the quadruped ones were clearly to ride, so that was a little bit different, but...
Well, actually, the one exception is Cody, because Samarimon, they were both to ride, basically.
Wait, no.
Actually, I wouldn't ride Armadillomon.
Yeah, no, Digmon is what you mean.
You mean Digmon?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. I wouldn't ride Armadillomon either.
Well, yeah, Digmon was not rideable. So Marimon was rideable, but did not have four legs, but did have a, you know, it's still like I'm lying.
He had four flippers, I guess. Actually, no, he only had two flippers.
No, he has two smaller ones in the back.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
In any case, he's still lying down for his human servant to get on him. What do we all think about, this is my own question, what do we all think about the struggle to control beast spirits? I like that it was a plot point. I mean, in the sense that, like, if these digivolutions are not defined by cathartic moments, like in Adventure, and they are purely, like, you get, like, the only condition for getting the evolution is finding the object in the, like, plot mechanical sense, then I think having a thing needs to be done once you have actually done the evolution is a kind of neat way to allow those cathartic moments for purely plot based mechanical delusions. But execution is all over the place. And like we talked about, though, like, oh, I just didn't have any trouble controlling the beast spirit because I'm a lady.
Well, that's also, it bothers me because Ranamon can't control her beast spirit, but it becomes a comic plot point. And so, like,
it's an ugly lady.
No, but so, like, Zoe doesn't, it's like, yeah, you could control your beast spirit, but did it matter? Like, you didn't actually have to do anything.
She didn't actually beat
Ranamon.
She didn't actually even beat Calamari.
Exactly. Because Calum, whatever, just beats herself. So it's like, like, who cares?
It's very, very annoying. I mentioned my thoughts on this already. I liked that each one had a different struggle. Like, Takuya was all over the place.
Of course.
And
he
I
was.
Liked that for Takuya. Koji had mostly troubles with the wheels.
Which, like, it seems like it would be like you become,
he's like, this isn't a beast thing, I don't know what to do.
Right, like, you become a wolf and you also have wheels, like, yeah, that would be hard to just, like, comprehend.
Yeah, it's like suddenly you have four pairs of Heelys on. It's like, oh my god. I understand wiping out on Heelys. I still don't understand what's going on with Tommy.
Apparently his,
what was,
like,
that?
Like, if, let me look up the description of Koikakumon in the whatever null canon lore, whatever, describes him as, like, praying in battle.
Okay.
On the brink of battle, it always pauses to offer a prayer to the god of ice and snow in which it believes, then shouts the name of a special move and something humorous. Okay, that's a weird, you know, like, Digimon detail, species level detail. But, yeah, so I think that's, it's totally weird because, yeah, they don't, like,
super weird.
It does seem like, if you try to parse what's going on, it's like, okay, I guess he's, like, pausing because he doesn't want to cause destruction or something, but
who knows?
Yeah, who knows? The way he is, like, holding himself, I always read to be some kind of prayer thingy, but
yeah, I always thought he was just like, I have to do a ritual before this attack.
I guess so.
I have to do a ritual before I get on the payload.
I liked Burning Greymon's episode. I liked when Tommy cried into his eyeball. That was totally gross.
That was so gross.
So gross. But also hilarious.
That's the way men exchange tears. They pour them into each other's eyeballs.
Now you feel my pain.
Still not as weird as what our dogs do.
No, I think this is weirder.
I don't want to know what your dogs do. yeah.
So Sam's last question was, who are favorite, basically the whole matrix, favorite human spirit, favorite beast spirit, least favorite human spirit, and least favorite beast spirit. Actually, well, let's throw around favorite human spirit. I guess mine, I mean, I guess we are including legendary, the evil legendary warriors in this too. So I guess including that.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, I think we should. Mine would be Duskmon for human spirit. Even though we haven't seen much of him yet. Ashley?
I feel like I don't know enough about Desmon for that to be included.
He has eyes on his arms.
I don't know. Goonimon.
Lobomon, just for lack of options here.
There are 10 options, Ash.
Yeah, I don't like any
and they
of them.
They all suck.
They do.
A Goonimon, I guess. There really aren't that many options.
Okay. Favorite beast spirit?
Jeff?
Yeah,
I
have
to go
first.
I don't have an answer. I'm going to go last. It's like ordering in a restaurant. Okay.
Burning Greymon! I feel Koikakumon. Like this is a betrayal of how much I love wolves, but whatever.
Kendagurumon's just kind of...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I guess I'll go with Burning Greymon. I don't really love any of them, though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now... least favorite human spirit?
Grumblemon.
Oh.
Ranamon.
I think I'm going to go with Armormon just because he's, like, there's nothing to like.
Why are you hating on Armormon? What's wrong with you?
There are things I like about everyone else, and I'm just like, I don't like anything about him.
I like Armormon, so that's okay.
But he's pointless.
That's what's so great about him.
So I'll go with Grumblemon.
Okay, at least you're a beast spirit. I think mine's Calamari Mon.
Yeah.
I actually spitefully like Calamari Mon.
So. Okay, that's good.
Because like, I hate the way the show treats her.
So like in spite of the show?
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Beast Spirits. I don't really remember Duskmon's Beast Spirit, but yeah. I don't remember liking it.
No.
It's a bird.
It's a bird? All right. I'll go with that.
And Andrew?
I don't like birds.
It's not even a bird. It's like a thing that resembles a bird.
Whatever. We'll find out.
Andrew, what's your least favorite?
Petaldramon.
Mm. Oh, I forgot about Petaldramon. All right, I changed mine to Petaldramon.
Really? Interesting. This is gender time.
Gender time!
Oh, I'm sure that anybody who knows anything about these episodes is not surprised about this rant that's coming.
Woo! Woo! Go, Ashley. Go, Ashley.
I feel like it's not even worth, like, hating on the overt things. I will say that the reason I picked the Swiss Family Digimon as the worst episode instead of Beastie Girl was because in the beginning of the episode, I feel like the Toucanmon are the worst, the most privileged, awful boys, in that they are like, we did all this useless work, and how does she pay us back? First of all, you didn't do anything for Anemon. Like, none of that work mattered to her. You did nothing. You didn't give her Beast Spirit.
Wait, actually, I mean, I take issue with this being a fault of just Swiss Family Digimon, because, like, they repeat it and make it more explicit in that episode, but they say the same sentiment at the end of the Beastie
Girl
episode.
Sure, but this makes it way more explicit. Like, they were like, I did this for you, and you paid me back by being ugly, and I'm like, what? Are you joking?
Yeah, there was even... There was something that was even more it was that she pays us back this way. Like, I thought it was like an unsettling subtext of the first episode, but then the second one it's like, oh my god, they actually said she pays us back this way, and it's like, no, that's like, you know, like, ugh. I said in my notes, I wrote, this reminds me of guys who feel betrayed seeing girls without makeup.
Yeah.
And I get that they're supposed to be quote unquote bad guys, but I don't actually think they are. Like, they're like pretty morally ambiguous. Like, they were just like, yeah, hot girls, they're cool.
And,
like,
and also nothing in the show punishes them for this attitude. The guy, actually, even Zoe agrees. Like, the whole, those two episodes just buy it. They just buy it.
Yeah, and, like, they're punished for being callous and, like, leaving Tommy behind or whatever, or, like, stealing anything from Tommy, but not for anything else. And also, I think we should mention, because I don't think we actually, like, explain the context very much, but, like, the thing that she is mad, that they are mad about Calamarimon paying, or Renamon paying them back for whatever, is not that, like, she doesn't accept their help or whatever, or, like, betray. It's, like, it's that she has this ugly beast form. And, like,
yeah,
it's that she, like, was framed as this, like, Digimon idol, and all super pretty, and they love her so much, and then it's, like, oh, but she has, it's not like she no longer has that form. She's still like, her base form is that same.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just like, yeah. Oh, but she has the other form. Oh my God. The fact that this other side of her exists, it's a total betrayal to my, like.
Yeah. Also the language they use, even when they're talking about cute Ranamon, they use the word cute and not pretty or beautiful. There's something about her being little, her being adorable, her being, something
it's like an infantilization of her.
Yeah. That. It's obnoxious.
Yeah, and I guess that's like part of the idol nature in Japan.
Not always, but yes, often.
Yeah. And the thing that I'm saying that they didn't actually do anything for her is that like they still stole all the kids' detectors except for Zoe, but like that didn't matter in the end for Ranamon. Like,
yeah, that was pretty confusing actually.
It didn't help her destroy her, didn't help. Like, they didn't give her the spirits at all. They didn't attempt that, actually. Like, it was just all garbage work that they, like, didn't add up to anything.
Yeah.
It was pretty confusing that they were, like, she was talking about reaching out to her fans, but then didn't actually do it. And then they did actually steal something that would have been super valuable for her, but they'd never actually connected those threads. It was strange.
Yeah. And the Digimon world's standards of beauty are just weird. Calamarimon as something powerful and confident and unafraid, having Calamarimon like denigrated for being whatever. I don't care. Having her denigrated for being like powerful, and having Zoe remark remarkably weak in both her forms. It's just, and having her like praised as beautiful, all tied into that, like, just, ugh. I really hate this season's take on gender.
Yeah,
for so many reasons.
Zephyrmon sounds cool because there's a Z in there, but Zephyr is just like a light breeze.
Right.
It's not. Oh, it's not even like powerful at all.
Not even like a powerful breeze.
It's
got a
hill to it. It's a water brand in America, actually. Yeah. Florida.
It's only in Florida.
Yeah.
I find Calmarimon being like the whole, because like in on paper in the abstract, Calmarimon reminds me a lot of Ursula. That's the right name, right?
From
Little Mermaid. And I haven't seen Little Mermaid in a long time. I guess I've played Kingdom Hearts more recently. But, like, I only think of Ursula because my sister is, like, a big fan of Disney villains, and especially Ursula for, you know, having very non-standard form of beauty. And is this, like, I think she is, like, Ursula is supposed to be based on a particular performer. I think I remember reading that.
I believe an opera singer or something.
Yeah. Anyway, I've only thought of it as, like, this, like, oh, Ursula's cool. And I think of, like, people being like, yeah, Ursula's cool, as being the sentiment that I've seen most recently. And I forget that, like, in Little Mermaid, probably they're like, no, Ursula's ugly. This, like, non-standard form of beauty is bad.
You're not going to like, you guys aren't going to like this. Ursula is based on a drag queen.
I can't remember hearing that.
I mean, yes, that's bad because in world, she's evil and people don't like her.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that's definitely the, like, the fact that it's, like, portraying this form. I mean, that's also, like, in terms of portraying the form of beauty as being terrible and bad, too, Disney definitely has the, like, queer characters only exist as villains problem.
Right. But then the two Kamon also do, their next step is to be like, okay, let's exploit our connection to beautiful Ranamon, to people who don't know her secret of being ugly, to sell these things that we stole from other people. Ha ha ha, isn't that a great idea? I'm like, what?
It doesn't make any sense because, like, is it, like, widely known that these things are owned by the enemies of Ranamon? So that's why other Ranamon fan club people would.
Nothing makes
sense. It also just, like, the idea that she is this, like, digi-world famous idol that people love and have fan clubs for, while also, I mean, they never show her doing it, but, like, supposedly she is still doing things as a legendary, an evil legendary warrior, like, destroying the world and eating things up and, like, causing chaos, hopefully?
Yeah.
Or, like, if she weren't, then I don't see how she wouldn't be chided for that. And, but the fact that they're like, no, we worship you, we love you because you're pretty. Like,
I mean, I think, okay, the worst thing in the episode, I think, is that there is, because they are good people, and so, you know, you are supposed to agree with the good guys, is that, like, Zoe's all, I'm a girl, girls know how to handle power when they need to, and then all the boys are like, that's scary, and then Zoe becomes scary and saying, knock it off, having power is not scary, and I'm just like, the sentiment that Zoe said is correct. The way you made her say it is reinforcing the terrible stereotype. In my notes, I just wrote, Zoe, if only you knew how scared dudes are of powerful women. It's just a fact.
I think she does know, frankly.
I know, but she doesn't want to admit it to herself.
Yeah. Oh, to be young.
To be honest, Zoe's whole... Just Zoe as a character didn't make any sense to me through these episodes. Like, she loses her spirit, seems sad about it, but, like, goes neither way. But it's not like, we must get my spirit back, but is neither like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. It's like somewhere in the middle. She's not given, like, motivations either way. She gets it back, becomes like, I'm the coolest, woohoo, like, you don't have your spirits. Okay, I got my beast spirit. It didn't matter.
on that note, can I briefly rant in frustration that I really got the vibe here? Okay, so her losing her spirit.
Okay.
First off, I appreciate that it was through her own action. You know, like, it wasn't like her just being the role. Like, she chose to save Tommy and chose to kind of sacrifice herself there. I at least appreciate that. It's frustrating she doesn't have the power for a while.
Okay, yes.
What I find much more frustrating is that, like, it definitely feels like the writers, the only way they can envision making her useful or making her the center of battles was to take away the power for everyone else.
Right. And that's been a frustrating thing, not just with her, but with anyone who isn't Takuya and Koji. Like, why are Takuya and Koji still fighting over their burgers? Like, the only way the other three can have any screen time.
Because they want to make burgers for each other. They love each other so much.
Grumblemon has to magic, Koji into a circle. Like, very, very poor writing.
But I find it so frustrating that, like, when, you know, like, when Tommy needs a moment, they can write a scenario such that he's the only one who has the choices or whatever. When, well, I guess that's actually pretty similar. But, like, when JP gets a moment, when any other characters need to have some space to have their moment to shine, whatever, it's not because they're the only ones with the power to attack. But,
Right. And everybody becomes, like, very overly praising of Zoe for no other reason than, like, it's like, this is Zoe's episode. It's like, Zoe's speech was so moving. I'm like, no, it wasn't. It's a lie.
It fits into this pattern of, like, well, a girl did it, so that's so impressive. And it's like, actually just hold them to the same standards, and they would.
It's like, actually, it was rather mediocre, but okay. What frustrates me about Zoe choosing to lose her spirit, like, I agree that that is what happened. However, it plays into the larger, like, I don't think these kids know any basic strategy in that, like, Grumblemon was in the middle of attack or whatever. Even if she couldn't actually defeat, or I guess it was Gigasmon, like, by attacking him, she would have, if she had just, like, hit him, then the attack would have hit neither of them, I feel. And just, like, she didn't choose to put her body, she didn't choose to shove Gigasmon out of the way. She chose to shove Tommy out of the way and then get hit herself, which is, like, like, she had the opportunity to do either and chose that one.
Well, girls only fight by protecting. It's the only way they can fight.
Of course. Yeah, but, like, because I feel like normally in those situations where it's, like, a person sacrificed themselves for another person, it's, like, yes, because they literally can't go get the attacker. They are closest to the attackee, so, like, you cover them up. But, like, for Kazemon, that was not true, I feel. But whatever. Cool. Let's try to talk about some positive gender points. Because I feel like maybe. I don't know how to feel about Bokemon embracing being a mom. On one hand, I'm like, that's kind of cool. On the other hand, it becomes fodder for some jokes.
Yeah, I mean, my first reaction was to appreciate it and to appreciate that it's, like, just, like, representation of any form of, like, you know, like, you don't need to be a stereotypical, like, motherly to show affection to a unborn child like this. But then it's, like, the way it is used for jokes and the way that you're supposed to laugh at it definitely, I think, like, undermines that.
It doesn't feel like representation to me to start with, really. It's jokes.
It's also, well,
and fairly mean-spirited jokes at the core of it.
But it's not just jokes, because I feel like it's not always a joke, though. It's like, Bokemon genuinely feels this way, and they don't always make fun of him. They make fun of him because it becomes repeated, and they're like, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I still think it's bad, because, like, I'm like, but Bokemon doesn't need to think of himself as a mother to be a caregiver. Like,
right, that's definitely frustrating.
And I'm just like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I like how Bokemon doesn't seem to have qualms with thinking of himself in these female terms. But it is frustrating to think that someone thinks that to be a caregiver, they need to be thinking of themselves in female terms, because that's not necessary at all.
Nope.
Right. I get some weird genderqueer vibes from Mercurymon. I think it's mostly because he doesn't have eyes and his lips look kind of effeminate, even though I kind of think, I don't know, is the top one supposed to be like a mustache or something? I don't really understand.
No, I think those are both lips.
Okay.
Well, honestly, his lips remind me more of like a Power Rangers or Super Sentai thing, because they do that a lot.
I feel like I don't understand that reference enough.
Yeah, we don't have the vocabulary.
There are several seasons or series of Super Sentai and Power Ranger designs that have lips on them.
That's
devoid
weird.
Devoid of eyes that and lips that move in such strange ways.
Okay, no, but that's kind of similar.
No, I feel
similar.
Like that's what makes it weirdly feminine. It's like Mercurymon is very skinny. He talks in like weird old-timey English way or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
His lips
which
are very
which is you know, like a stereotypical way that gay people are portrayed in media. They just, yeah, the and thous. Like,
right.
Why'd you all agree with that? That was...
Well, no, I meant more the, like, his actual voice sounds more, not like the words necessarily. But I mean, on that note, one of the Trailmon was definitely putting on a stereotypical gay affectation.
Was it the angler?
No, Mole.
No, it wasn't Mole.
I was thinking the one that Tommy had.
Yeah.
Angler.
Yeah.
I thought that one was German. Which one was the German one?
Angler was German, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Whatever. I do applaud the show for making Petaljamon a dude. I feel like flowers are normally girls.
Yeah.
It is not a, like, stereotypically pretty flower, though. It's like a...
That's fine.
It's like...
Well, they make even the ugly flowers girls, usually. Like, remember Blossommon?
Yeah.
No.
I do. Vaguely. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty sure Blossommon was a girl.
Yeah. And the pink Trailmon is a dude, at least in English. That's nice.
Because all the Trailmons are dudes.
That's fine.
They're all Dave Wittenberg. It's great.
Yep. When our fast Trailmon, we're like riding along curves really fast. I have a segment that I wanted to talk about briefly, kind of like a little drive-by segment about the names of the
some spirits. Drive-by shooting?
No, a drive-by segment, actually. Jeez. And it's just because I think this season, more than others, it feels like, not sure, I haven't done the numbers, has a lot of names that change in the dub. And so I thought it just might be interesting to look at some of them and see how they differ, why they differ, some of them. Anyway, so starting off with the Spirits of Fire, Agunimon / some people say Agnimon, is not actually much of a difference between Japanese and English, except that the inspiration is Agni, which is a Hindu and Vedic, I don't know how to pronounce that, god of fire, as well as guardian of humanity. And it's also Sanskrit for fire. And that the way that that would be pronounced in Japanese is Aguni. And so the official romanization of that, you know, writes it in the, you know, the way that you would write Agni in English, and Japanese, they kept it. Anyway, the dub, for some reason, kept the Japanese pronunciation instead of the official romanization, so that's kind of strange, but whatever. Burning Greymon originally was, I don't know how to pronounce this either. In Japanese, it's Vritoramon, which is spelled like Vritramon. And Vritra is another, it's a personification of drought, an enemy of Indra in the early Vedic religion. So it's another, like, you know, religious mythology reference. And just like... I don't know, I'm curious what everyone thinks about the... Because this is a trend that the English names that have these references to and callbacks to adventure names. So Burning Greymon, Kendo Gurumon, Metal Kabutarimon, and Korikakumon. None of those have references to the adventure names in Japanese. They are all... Except for Zephyrmon doesn't have this pattern either. Actually, no. They're all, except for Korikakumon in Japanese, is Blizzardmon. But Metal Kabutarimon, Kendo Gurumon, Burning Greymon, their Japanese names are all mythological or religious references. And then in English, they change them to these callbacks to adventure, which, I don't know, I feel a little bit strange about that, because it definitely seems to be like adding this weird intent that wasn't part of the original vision for the connections. But also, like, most of them, I think they must have gotten this idea because they, you know, like, in looking into the lore for the legendary warriors, saw that the ancient, the, like, original legendary warriors that they're both human and beast spirits are based on have this scheme. So, like, the basis for Agunimon and Burning Greymon is ancient Greymon, and there's ancient Garurumon, and I think those are actually the only two. None of the other ones are, like, ancient adventure character. And that also kind of explains where Beetlemon comes from, because in Japanese the name is Blitzmon, and, like, I actually think Blitzmon would have worked totally fine in English. Like, I don't know, Beetlemon seems much less dramatic and cool, but apparently...
Maybe they couldn't get the license because of NFL Blitz.
No, I think actually there are various different reasons for these changes, most of them being pronunciation. I mean, try to get American kids to say Vritramon. I can't even do it. Which, you know, is my failing. But Blitz, there's some, you know, there's some World War references to avoid there.
That makes sense.
Shutumon can... They be very easily changed to Shitmon. Garmon is hard to say.
Yeah, Garm.
And kind of ugly in English.
Wait, actually,
which one's Garmon?
Kendo Garurumon.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to talk about in the segment is that there are a lot of these names that are totally mispronounced by English viewers who have watched the sub and read the names only, or don't like listen carefully to what they're saying in Japanese. It's not Garmumon. It's Garumumon. So it's Garurumon, but with the ru replaced with a mu. So it's Garumumon, which would also be plenty. It would be really hard. Your point still stands, but it would be really hard to say. And it's definitely...
But the reference is to Garmer, which, you know, whatever.
No, but I like Garumumon. I think it's a clever name in Japanese because it is both... Mm-hmm. It fits into this theme of... It's so Garmer is a massive dog that guarded the underworld in Norse mythology. And it actually is, apparently in Norse mythology, guards the underworld with another creature who is also the basis for Duskmon's beast spirit form. So that's kind of cool. Cool connection there. But yeah, the fact that it's that reference and also sounds like Garurumon. I like that. But yeah. And yeah, Bolgmon is also like, that would sound pretty strange in English. And yeah, I think it was like once they decided to change one into like, you know, adjective Greymon and adjective Garurumon, then it makes sense that they would have to change Blizzardmon. But then it doesn't really make sense because it's not like Zephyrmon is like, I don't know what it would even be, like wind Bergermon, I don't know.
But I feel like the other ones, like Korikakumon, I look at his design, and I'm like, yeah, I see where you got that it could be a Kakumon. Like, there is no thing that really overlaps with Zephyrmon, I feel. Like, you could try to shove it in with one of the angels, but I feel like that's dangerous, and I would break that illusion for me.
And, yeah, Bergermon / Biomon illusions don't really fit either, even though they are flying. Yeah. I mean, Metal Kabutarimon is also kind of... I mean, like, I guess he is a beetle.
Yeah, I see where that comes from. Like, it doesn't... My brain did not have to work that hard to get there, so I accepted it.
Yeah. And weirdly enough, most of the evil legendary warriors don't have their names changed. I mean, like, Grumblemon...
A couple do.
Like, Grumblemon in Japanese is Gurotomon, just like grotto. I don't know why they changed that. I guess that some of these are just like, yeah, that would definitely sound weird in English. Other ones are just like, there's probably a complicated process that went into changing these, so we can't really infer. And most of the Japanese names most of the names for the evil legendary warriors are pretty obvious, like Arbormon and Peneldramon and Kalmarmon. Ranamon, apparently Rana means frog in Italian.
I think they were probably going for rain, though.
Because
her things are rain.
That's true, too.
Drain and rain. Also an overpowered attack.
Yeah, also an overpowered attack that she never used. That she uses like once. I'm like, you should use this every time. Oh my god. Drain and rain. Oh, I can't even. Yeah, I think that's about all I have to say for the names. Regardless of whether it's the original intent to have the Bee Spirit names be allusions to adventure, I enjoyed that as a kid. And in the same way that like having the stuff like the Angemon and Wizardmon sacrifices, that was like, oh, this is like a neat reference to adventure, but you don't need to know adventure to get this. I feel like there were similar things. They were like, oh yeah, Burning Greymon, cool. That's like a connection to adventure that, I don't know. But now that I think about it, now that I'm saying this, I feel like it is a kind of a shameless ploy to pull in adventure fans. Be like, you liked Greymon, now enjoy Burning Greymon. Also, Kendo Gurumon, on the other hand, though. There is nothing kendo about the Lobomon is the Lobomon has a kendo attack. Kendo Gurumon does not do kendo whatsoever. It also like, I feel like at least Lobomon's lightness, you know, like he has a lightsaber and, you know, like does thing like shoots light out of it, whatever. But like Kendo Gurumon / Garumon, whatever. Like, what is light about him?
He's white.
Yeah, it's his color scheme. Like, his pink job is light, and that's about it.
Doesn't he have light blaster moves?
Oh, maybe. But those feel like any other projectile, from what I recall.
Okay, whatever.
Mercurymon has another one of those names that, like, on paper looks like, if you were just to pronounce it, like, oh, in Japanese it's Mercurymon. And it's like, no, in Japanese it's Mercuremon, which is not that far off from Mercurymon. But apparently there's weird Mercurymon naming stuff because the character in Saver / Data Squad is also called Mercurymon.
Oh, yeah.
Maruki.
Yeah.
Marukimon.
I'm not sure what they call that in English anyway.
Marukimon.
That's how they say it in the dub?
Yeah.
And we haven't met him yet, but Mercurymon's beast form. I don't know why. Why they choose Sakaku? What's that a reference to?
I believe it's... Hang on.
Yeah, apparently Sakaku is an optical illusion in Japanese. So that's kind of a strange thing. Anyway, his original Japanese name is Sephirothmon, which is a neat illusion for fantasy character for
it's
people.
It's an allusion to Kabbalah.
Right. It is, yeah. The Sephiroth is a thing.
It's a thing. And that's what Sakakumon looks like.
Right. That I feel like a lot of Japanese media uses Sephiroth because it sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
But Sephirothmon actually, like, you know, is visually based on that. So that's a plus. And now we are going to take a little break to read an iTunes review from Ember Moto in USA.
Okay. The title was just prodigious. I don't know where you would get that from. Body. One of, if not the best Digimon podcast I've listened to. Each of the members have such different takes and ideas about the show. This creates varied and diverse discussions. Even if you have watched Digimon a million times, this podcast is worth listening to. I hope you have not watched Digimon a million times, just FYI. Moving on. It might give you a new perspective on the show, or perhaps it will make you look at certain aspects of it in a different way. I highly recommend this podcast to anyone who has ever had so much as a passing interest in Digimon.
Cool.
Thank you. That's very detailed, thoughtful review.
And now we will take that very thoughtful criticism, that very thoughtful praise and things that we love, and garble it by translating it back and forth between Japanese, and I think this time I mostly use Latin. Anyway, here it is. We have a new voice of Robotmon.
Title, very nice, the best Digimon I will sew another type of promotion. That is, it is caused by various causes.
It's caused by various causes.
Digimon disease can be protected. This is the fifth. You can see them at the opening expectation of the exhibition's new exhibition, or by other means. Digimon gives fifth place.
Digimon gives fifth place. You can protect yourself from
Digimon diseases.
The original line that got Mark into that was the, like, watching Digimon a million times thing. So I'm like, I like how that got translated into Digimon disease.
Digimon disease. That's fitting. You're like,
we've all been infected with a Digimon disease.
Yeah.
Infect your friends.
Share the podcast with friends who want to be infected by the Digimon disease.
Don't share the podcast with friends who have not seen Digimon a million times.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, let's answer questions. I'm sure there were none.
Why?
Why this show? Why this arc? Okay, I have a couple of audio ones. So this first one is Gatsumon's speech from episode 10. And I only noticed this because in Hulu, I try to keep captions on so that I can, like, catch everything. And the captions just gave up at this part. It was just an inaudible speech, so...
I think he said R and I swell.
What?
Really? What?
No.
I did it.
R and I swell.
I think that's what he said.
See it.
Huh.
Answer the question. Yeah.
One mystery solved. Also, did anyone else notice when it's like they're off screen in episode 10? I forget what. I think they're, like, attacking Gromon or something, and they all say me. But, like, listen to Zoe.
Who should be first beaten up real good?
Me!
No, me!
That was Rika.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% sure about that.
Me!
That was definitely Rika.
I could hear Zoe in that, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that, like, we know Rika's still on staff, or Rika's voice actor is still on staff for this because of the narration, makes me think that it's possible.
No, I really think it was Zoe, though.
Let us know in the comments. Let us know in the comments that I'm right.
It was Zoe in her more, like, bratty voice.
Yeah. It's Zoe in her phase where she becomes a Digimon queen. Yeah, that's her.
No.
Also, Nakimon, JP, did you catch his little slipping into Gilmon?
Come on, do you actually think any of these weirdos can tell the future?
Yes, round one.
Ah.
It is also clear.
Did you hear it?
Hear what?
I heard it.
This is JP.
Yes, round one.
Ah.
It is also...
He says, like, but it's, like, totally a Gilmon growl, or...
Oh.
I mean, because it's Steve, they're both Steve Bloom, but...
Okay.
Okay, on to questions.
I have a question for Takuya. He says the scenery back home is better. And I'm like, really? The scenery back home is better than a rose floating in the sky? Can you tell me more about that? Like, Takuya, how crazy
who
is
was
Japan?
So bored. So
yeah,
bored.
Who was so bored by that home now thinks the scenery was better there. Oh, really? I mean, do tell.
Tokyo can be pretty pretty.
Yeah, how are Zephyrmon and Metal Kabuterimon beasts? They're not. I don't believe that.
At least Metal Kabuterimon is beastier.
Wait, I have a great question. Did the Toucanmon eat Mickey Mouse and steal his pants? I need to know.
Okay.
I need to know. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Why is this like Ofanimon's Crystal Palace thingy or Seraphim, whatever, right next to the forest terminal? Like, what is that? Like, those aren't thematically tied at all.
Oh, if you want thematic ties, then don't watch Digimon.
Why did the Trailmon come back?
What do you mean?
Why did the Trailmon go back?
Oh, I know it. Yeah.
You mean how?
Also, how could it go back?
Yeah, how could it go back?
Okay, you're talking about like when it's in the cave and it jumped down and then it's going to somehow go backwards. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. What dictates whether when a kid is defeated, when they're in their spirit form, they sometimes get their fractal code exposed and sometimes they just revert back to the human form? Like, which is the, like, it's just whatever they need for the moment is what happens. Mm-hmm.
Don't.
Okay, where is it? It's not so much of a question as is frustration, but it's in episode 13 when they're like meeting Seraphim or whatever, and JP says this line, "There's no way we'll leave. Even if we wanted to, we don't know how." Which is just,
I know.
Like,
I was like, that's a lie.
I'm so mad about that because it's like, what did I write down? Yes, you do. You had that option. How did you forget about this as a scriptwriter? This is a huge detail that should inform every little character decision. Like the, there are a few things a scriptwriter of this, a dub writer of this show should keep in mind. And We Are Here by Choice is one of those like three details.
Ridiculous dialogue draft, where we each go around and pick our top funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching line from the episode. Again, we're only doing one, even though we did a record amount of things, because they're not that good, and actually we're running out of time, because Andrew and Asher have to leave.
Yep, it's time for the
ridiculous dialogue draft, baby!
I totally forgot I got Brian Beacock to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to start off.
It's Andrew, me, Ashley, then Jeff.
Okay.
So you're last, Jeff. You don't get to go. Cool. Ha ha, loser.
Me?
Yes,
Andrew.
Okay, episode 18, JP says,
"She's writing, I'm writing."
That's it.
What?
That's it.
Okay.
That's, why do you want to pick dirty things like this?
Because it's awful.
All right. In the episode with Seraphimon, I guess 13, Tommy's going,
"Sorcerer-mon! Isn't helping anyone.
Ice cold."
I'll go with episode 10. What happens in episode 10? Kendo Gurumon. Sure. It's the other kids that are not Koji are like trying to catch up to him or whatever, and they're in the grass. And I had to go back and make sure that this is what Zoe said, but the exchange is,
"Stupid thick grass. I'd give anything for a lawnmower.
Or a gag."
You know, I was like, oh,
okay. Mine, I won't be able to like imitate the delivery well, so I got a recording of it, and it's when it's in the Tremon race.
Cheating.
And anyone else could do this too, and just play it back.
No.
And it's when Koji is trying to save his Trailmon, the Franken Trailmon.
"This should be working!
Probably would be if we weren't heading downhill. Yeah, this would be the hill right here. So, where you from?"
Yeah.
"Your world as high as they are here. Koji! We got some doozies here."
I didn't really like Koji's Trailmon.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that one written down too. That exact section of it.
He's great. Best Trailmon.
So, where are you from?
Now it's time for our terminal judgment section. This is where we wrap up any last thoughts we had about the episode, or the arcs, the arc, the episodes, or arc singular. I can do math in my head. And okay. That's not math. Okay, so any last thoughts? what's our favorite Tremon? My favorite Tremon is Franken Tremon because of the RDD clip. Okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. Andrew?
Whatever. For sure.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Well, Mr. Tremon here?
You can't just pick one.
You can't choose from your children. Oh, one thing I thought was a cool detail to point out that doesn't really affect anything, but Autumn Leaf Fair in Japanese is Akiba, which is a shorthand name for Akihabara.
Because it's Electric Town?
No, maybe that would, I guess that would explain it. But the name Autumn Leaf Fair in English, like the kanji used to write Akiba, is actually autumn and leaf. So That's kind of cool. Something I never realized.
That makes sense.
Okay, I really liked this line, and I wrote a good note next to it, and is, as much as I love a good burger, I never thought my life would be saved by one, and I wrote Burgermon, living the American dream.
Okay. I want to briefly complain about this, the Amida Kuji game, the game with the where they follow the lines from the top, because the whole point of it, I mean, the rules are totally not explained. The point is that, like, you go down the line and you have to cross as soon as you cross, and then you go down to cross, and you have to go, and that's, and then you end up at the bottom. And the way the game works is you're not supposed to see the maze in the middle when you pick the top point, and then you happen to go along, but they see it all and they're like, oh, just look at it. First of all, it's obviously a trap. They jump into it anyway. They don't, like, look, they don't, if you can see the middle, you could just work your way backwards to go to the circle one, which, and also
that takes all the fun out of it, Jeffrey.
But the third nail in the coffin, I guess this is just talking about the name, I'm being stupid, but, like, if you watch them while they're going down, like, they actually are consistent with who ends up where, except for Neymon and Zoe, who are on the same path but end up at different places.
I'm pretty sure you're just supposed to think it's Neymon.
But I'm pretty sure, like, if you map it out, it actually, like, that is, like, where Neymon lands up is the right place, and Zoe's in the right place. So.
Well, girls. The show doesn't like girls.
It's hard to see, like, all in one picture, so, like, I'm not 100% sure, but, like, it looked like it mostly went to the right, or to the left where Neymon was, and then, anyway. Those are all the last thoughts I had. Any more before we lock in our MVPs?
No.
I'm good. I didn't think this through. Oh, yes, I did. My MVP is Franken Tremon. And I think for the purpose of the fantasy draft, like, any Tremon, like, if anyone picks a Tremon, that's good enough for a match. Ashley, who's your MVP or MVD?
Burning Greymon!
Oh, okay.
Ho-ho. Ho-ho.
Do you want to defend that at all?
I don't know. He's just cool. Like fire. What do you want from me?
Asher, defend your Tommy.
Tommy, because...
Andrew, defend Yami. And you missed out Tommy writing in the doc. It's okay.
He was
not my fault. It's next to it.
Only one with actual, like, an actual likable character.
He does a lot of things in these episodes, I must say.
Yeah, and he's a good kid. And, like, I'm really proud of him. I'm really sorry for hating on him when I was a kid.
You apologize for past self.
He is not as whiny as I remember him.
Okay, Andrew, same reason?
Pretty much.
Okay, those are our MVD, MVPs, whatever. And so basically we pick those so that you get points in our fantasy draft, and watch out on social media for us to post the next fantasy draft, or you can find the link in the sidebar of the site to participate in the next fantasy draft, and you should do that because it's fun and you will get prizes from the try giveaway. Recommendation articulation. Okay, this week I'm going to recommend a manga called Project X 7-Eleven, which is about the founding of 7-Eleven in Japan. And it is not... It's good. It's a single volume, and it's hard to find. I found it on, like, Amazon used. But it is good. I wish it went into more about why 7-Eleven is so much better in Japan than America, but it says about the founding days. Anyway, it is good. You should read it.
I will plug boycotting Uber and Amazon. Or just generally putting your money where your mouth is. Because I feel that many people, myself included, do not have time to go protest things. That does not mean you do not have power. I'm sure you buy things. So, like, buy things from people who do good things, not bad things. I am also seriously considering doing a one-time donation that matches our current Patreon level to the ACLU. And if I do that, I will post it before this episode comes out, because it's not going to come out for forever, and time is of the essence.
It's coming out in a week and a half, actually.
Whatever. We don't have a week and a half.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, and it, then it's kind of... Yeah. Asher.
Thank you, Ashley. Yes. I would like to recommend, I bought this yesterday. It says it's a daily intention journal. And it's like, instead of the, I don't know, there's a pressure of keeping a journal that you have to write like interesting things in it. But here it's like, today my intention is to be generous or be whatever, or appreciate this or let go of this, attract this. And you can put a to-do list in it because most of the page is, and here's how it all turned out. And it's a good way to get your thoughts down and make a to-do list that is somehow less high pressure and a healthier way of like being organized.
I forgot to time you.
Whatever. It was under 30 seconds.
Andrew.
Okay. I'm going to recommend Alien 9 because that's the only thing I've watched recently. It's weird. It's very early 2000s. It's a four episode OVA. Psychological stuff, there's aliens, there's uncomfortable stuff, so if you don't like underage like psychological horror and nudity, then don't watch it. And it's kind of incomplete, but the manga goes on further, and it's an allegory for growing up, because obviously
because everything really is.
it's true.
Facts.
You can find the full show notes and comment thread for this episode at podigist.com/402. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode, like why our favorite Trailmon are totally bogus. But you can also go to the episode page to vote on your favorite Ridiculous Dialogue draft pick and to rate how much you like this arc. You can also let us know your thoughts via social media, email, or with the Well thread, or the Digimon subreddit thread for this episode.
If you want to be featured on the next feedback episode, you can also answer our fortnightly voicemail question. What beast spirit in you have you had to learn to control? You can either call 913-CALAMON if you're in the U.S., or email an audio recording, 90 seconds or less, to podigious@gmail.com.
Our new Agunimon artwork this season is by Jubia Majo on DeviantArt.
Podigious is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our champion Patrimon, Joe Kido, Kailunamon, Kaiser Washi, Stevie Patamon, from the podcast The Moncast, which is a Pokemon Digimon podcast, and Year of Backlog, which is about video games, and Red, from fellow Digimon podcast, Breakfast with Digimon, our Ultimate Patrimon, David Graumon, and Marcus Damon, and our Mega Patrimon, Sam Kriwagamon, who is also on the Moncast, and would like you to check out his partner's Tumblr, which is purple-pixel.tumblr.com. They are doing daily Animal Crossing drawings, and they are very cute.
If you want to support the show, you should check out our Patreon. For $1 a month, you can join our private group chat on Slack, where lately, I don't know, we've been moaning about politics and general things, video games and stuff.
We're talking about Next Order and stuff.
Oh, yeah, Next Order. You can also get cool stuff like commentary tracks and behind-the-scene notes for $3 a month, a new sticker and button every month for $10, ability to choose episode topics for $15 a month, and a monthly Skype hangout with me and Ashley for $25 a month.
You can find Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs. You can find me on Tumblr at Asher Dashery. Andrew's on Twitter at
Drew Softman.
Ashley's on Twitter at
AshMcD00.
And Jeff's on Twitter at
Definitely Jeff.
Share the podcast with your friends who would be happy being a papa mama, and don't share the podcast with your Toucanmon friends who are Toucanmon.
Join us next week for another feedback episode. And then we'll be back in 2 weeks to cover up through the Sakakumon arc with episodes 20 through 29. Bye!
Bye!
And remember, never stop digivolving.
Bullseye, baby!
Bring on the beef, baby!
Bullseye!
Stop! Baby. Stop!
Bring on the beef, baby!
No! No!
Interesting, I think.
Is that
MSI? No!
I hit the wrong one.
Bullseye, baby!
Bring on the beef, baby!
Bullseye, baby!
Bring on the
beef! Okay, I'm in.
Bullseye. You're in! Bring on the
beef, baby! Bullseye, baby!
Bring on the beef, baby!
Bullseye, baby!
Bring on the beef, baby!
Cool.
I'm leaving.
Bring on the beef, baby.
I should have got Pokemon also saying bring on the beef.
I know, I was like, you're missing the I mean, the worst one.
I was like, I want to get this for comparison of Brian B. Cox's voice from Takato, but it wasn't I didn't think it was the funniest. Wait, what?
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 According to the Dijon Wiki, which, you know, like, not entirely trustworthy, you know how they, like, only Takuya and Koji get fusion spirits?
Yeah.
This is supposedly Tommy's fusion spirit.
Yeah, Daipenmon?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Why didn't this happen?
It did.
What? When does it happen?
Cross Wars.
Oh. That didn't happen.
Yeah, that's not.
Lilithmon fuses with it at one point.
Kind of remember that.
And it's actually quite amazing. And then, demonic snow cone maker.
And the wind.
Don't look at it.
Oh,
don't,
no, that looks stupid.
Don't look at her Katy Perry outfit.
That's not even the dumb thing. The dumb thing is the pinwheel.
No. If you look at her boobs.
Oh my god, she's got an airplane on her head. This is dumb.
Don't look at her boobs because they have pinwheels too.
Oh, no. Okay, that's really stupid. But
why?
I mean, otherwise it looks just a recoloring of Zephyrmon, to be honest.
Well, it's a combination of Zephyrmon and Kazemon. Digimon.
Welcome to Podigest, episode 402.
Lavender. I'm gonna murder you. Lavender.
Actually, I think I need to actually restart my recording anyway because Audacity is using the wrong mic. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I thought I fixed it, but I apparently did not. Oops, cancel. Whoops.
Whoops.
Ah.
It's the lavender. It took over your computer.
Lavender.
Okay, there we go. Sorry. Got it fixed.
It's just
glad
just
I checked.
Lavender.
Okay.
Melon. My tummy feels like a melon. Melon.
Oh,
melon.
My God. Melon. What is happening?
Melon.
I'm gonna murder. I'm gonna come into your closet.
Like
I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna get up right now.
Okay. Jeff, we have a time crunch here.
Okay.
In episode 12, Fear and Loathing in Los Arboles, aka Control Alt Delete Your Spirit, Takuya snaps out of his Beastie Boys obsession when Tommy cries into his eyeball and then defeats Gigasmon and leaves Zoe's spirit behind because patriarchy.
I can't believe you didn't choose Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires.
I can't believe you didn't choose Chaos Control.
You're all wrong.
I totally can't believe that you didn't pick Bro Spirits before Ho Spirits.
I can believe that one.
And honestly, I cannot believe it's not butter, so there.
Wait, do we actually all, if all of us would have picked different ones of those four?
No, I was being jokey because that was the only one left. In episode 14, Noemon, aka Secret Tunnel. With yellow Angemon. It's too much. With yellow Angemon defeated, the kids set across the ocean in Waymon for the island of Not Server.
The island of what? Oh.
It's only been three seasons.
Shut up! In episode 15, Beastie Girl, aka the beach episode.
In episode 18, Trailmon versus Trailmon, aka please stop talking about Digilube. The kids get distracted on their way to the ominously pretentious star and finally each get a Digimon partner. But they're all trains. Also, there's way too much talk about Digilube.
Okay, what's with that but? But they're all trains, I think, and they're all trains.
And they're all trains.
I could watch an entire show about Trailmon.
I thought you were going to say trains, and I was like, want me to recommend one to you?
No, I've already watched a show all about trains. I was four.
And your point is?
I've already seen it.
Are you sure?
Yes. Takuya and Koji are so absorbed in cooking for each other that they don't notice that everyone else is abducted.
Brilliant.
No one liked Food Wars Shokugeki no Burger?
No.
I think you mean yay.
No, we don't.
I definitely don't. All right, we're talking about writing. What I didn't like about these episodes is that, like, in Adventure, at least with Angemon and Angewoman, there is an understanding that they can carry TK and Kari. In this, there does not seem to be an understanding whenever they're like, we need something that can fly. And I'm like, Kazemon?
Oh, boy.
Kazemon's there.
Yeah, specifically in the Swiss Kazemon. Family Digimon episode. Yeah. Yeah. Like, and we define a flying Digimon. It's like, you have one Spirit Evolution used right now. It is a flying Digimon.
Yeah. Like, I get that she can't, like, carry all of you at the same time, but, like, actually, I think she probably could if they tried hard.
They just do one by one. It would be totally possible.
If they could build the raft and have her pull it, and it would still be better than relying on the wind.
Yeah, it was just
she is the wind.
What? Exactly.
Or they could ride the raft and then have her carry them over the whirlpool part of it. Like, I guess maybe that is a possibility of what they were planning to do, which they never got to do. So I guess
I don't think that was part of the plan.
I don't think that was part of their plan either.
There's actually I can't think of this as a quote, but a something that A.R. Pulver in his System Restore review of these episodes mentioned in the Trailmon episode, the Trailmon race episode, that like one of his major frustrations was actually that it made Tommy and Zoe too competent in that episode, that it like, in retrospect, looking at the other episodes, it's like, wait, if Kazemon could lift a Trailmon...
Yeah, exactly. Then, like, that's what I was thinking just now. I was like, but wait, she lifts a Trailmon. She could probably carry four boys on her.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
What about adrenaline? Adrenaline's a thing.
She could have adrenaline at the whirlpool.
Yeah, I don't... I believe she could at least carry two of them at a time.
Or it would also be possible one at a time. Anyway, it's all... kind of silly.
I forgive them for not doing it one at a time only because they all did not have any way to fight. So if they were attacked, she'd be like, that's a danger.
Mm.
So like, I understood that. So I did want something that was like, all right, you can't carry them one at a time. But if she could carry most of them, because she picked up a Trailmon.
But that argument still applies if she's carrying all of them and she gets attacked midway, which they were attacked midway. She would just drop everyone in the ocean and then they would kind of...
Well, the raft thing is...
Well, then they could hold on to the Gomamon.
That's true.
Yeah, like the
instant
Gomamon
flotation devices.
Why did they need a raft when
we're applying way too much logic to this. Like, there's no way this much thought process is put into this. Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Obviously.
It took them a minute to figure out, JP, you weren't the Peeping Tom. Oh, wait, you were swimming with us the whole time. Jesus.
Okay, I appreciated how it was really mean and rude of them to do that to JP. And I'm like, no, JP, you deserve that because you have been such an... apparently I use bad words to describe JP like last episode, but like the way he treats Zoe, oh my gosh. You deserve being suspected for that, because...
Yeah.
There was half an episode where I was like, you know what? I'm cool with JP and Zoe. And then I was like, no, I'm not.
I think I know what episode you're talking about, right? Like,
because JP keeps talking, and it's no good.
Yeah. Yep. It's unfortunate.
Because, you know the chubby nerd needs to act like a terrible person to the girl in order to show his affection. I love that aspect of it.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
But back to humans versus beast spirits.
Oh, I forgot about Petaljamon. All right, I changed mine to Petaljamon.
Really? Interesting.
Petaljamon was my second least favorite after Kamaimon. But, like, but also, I think this is the only place I can talk about it.
Gigasmon.
Ashley and I had a brief conversation about this, so I'm not the only one. I wasn't worried I was the only one who thought this. Do I have notes for this anywhere? I guess I didn't have notes for this anywhere. Oh, God. He is so oddly and creepy and unsettlingly and upsettingly phallic that, like...
Yes.
Okay, Grumblemon, I thought of, like, this when I was, like, thinking of making jokes for him for that episode. And it's like, okay, yes, he has a big nose. It is kind of felt like how big his nose is, but it's like very big and round. But then like Gigasmon gets like his nose is like much straighter and not round. And it's just
he's
like,
also weirdly like shiny in a way, like smooth.
I think
his crotch is very emphasized.
Right, his crotch. But like, okay, I don't think it's a shininess. It's that he's like, he has like, you know, like a really ripped body that's like, it looks like it, to the point of shininess, like it kind of looks like he's in like a really tight bodysuit. Mm. And then like his like, you know, void of a crotch is like...
So, like, a condom.
Oh. Oh. No. Yeah, his whole everything.
It's a good thing we had this conversation after he was taken out of the picture.
Yeah, and at least now he's gone, we don't need to see him anymore. I'm sorry for any listeners who still have to watch him.
I'm not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Confident and unafraid, having Calamarimon, like, denigrated for being... Whatever. I don't care. Calamarimon? Why?
No, Calamarimon. There's no... Yeah. Calamarimon.
Calamarimon.
I mean, he also... Calamarimon.
No, we're not going there. Calamarimon? Oh my god.
No, it's Calamarimon in the dub, I believe.
No, it's
you know what?
No, it's Calamar. Calamar.
Who cares?
No, wait, that's in the Japanese.
No, the dub too.
No, Calamarimon.
No.
It's Calamarimon in the dub for some reason. Oh my god,
Squidmon!
Squidmon and Kidmon.
You're a squid. You're a kid.
Oh my god, she's Squidmon and Kidmon!
Dun dun dun.
Bye.
Bye!